Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe.
So excited to be here with you today, and really super excited to be here with my special guest, Elizabeth Marbury. And we're going to be talking today about going within to make peace with the body you're in. Now, Elizabeth Marbury is a certified yoga instructor and body confidence coach. She's been teaching people how to reconnect with their bodies through joyful movement and self-love practices for over 15 years. Elizabeth is a retired professional dancer, and through this experience as a dancer, she has certainly overcome many of her own struggles with disordered eating and viewing her body as the enemy. And she's so passionate now about helping others do the same that she has launched the 12-week Confident Feminine Body Program, where she helps women reclaim their body confidence, discover joy-filled movement practices, and heal their relationship with food so they can have an abundance of energy and feel comfortable in their own skin. So Elizabeth, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. So nice to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. So yeah, one of the reasons I was so excited to invite you on to the show is because body image is really one of the biggest obstacles that so many women face in sex. You know, I'm a sexuality specialist, and I just run into this so often that, you know, women are so frequently judging their bodies, or they're afraid of what they look like, they're afraid of what they smell like, or they feel like they're too fat. And these things really end up preventing them from being able to enjoy sex or even to be able to enjoy pleasure. Like, they don't want to get naked in front of their partner, and it creates this huge obstacle to their capacity to really enjoy sex and connect intimately with their partner. So I've also really found that this is a really challenging obstacle to overcome. And, you know, you are the expert in this. So I would really, really love to hear, you know, first of all, I think I'd love for you to share with our listeners just about your personal story, you know, how you overcame your own challenges with disordered eating and negative body image. Tell us about that. And then I really want to dig into how you help women with this challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I grew up in the dance world. I competed in dance. I dance professionally, and just being a woman in our society alone, you're going to feel that pressure of wanting to shrink your body, wanting to fit into the ideal beauty standard that we all, you know, subscribe to, or that we were taught is this is what is the ideal body type. And then for me, it was kind of compounded by being in the dance world and feeling like if I wanted to get work, if I wanted to make a living as a dancer, I needed to be as small as possible. And so my disordered eating journey really started in high school, where I started to be very concerned about my body and wanting to control the foods I ate. And I remember feeling so much guilt over, like, if I would eat a cookie, or I started to really track, like, how many calories were in everything. And I started to, the more I tried to control my food intake and my body size and make sure it wouldn't go up, the more out of control I felt. And it really, when I went to college in New York City for dance, which was a super amazing experience. But in college, that's when my disordered eating really just, it got out of hand, where I would wake up in the morning and all I would think about was food and what I was going to eat, what I wasn't going to eat, when I was going to eat it. And my cycle would be I'd go through my day really trying to control my food, worrying about it. And then at night, what would happen a lot of times is I would binge, and I would eat way past fullness. And I had that mentality of, like, oh, well, I'm just going to have one cookie because it's so bad if I have it. Like, I was just labeling every, you know, labeling foods good and bad. I was attaching moral virtues to my foods. I felt like I was a bad person if I was eating a muffin or if I was eating a donut or whatever. And it led me, that deprivation, that physical and mental deprivation leads to binging and overeating, right? That's just a biological mechanism, which sure. was at play at that point. And it was a struggle, because when I would binge, I'd overeat, I'd emotionally eat, I'd stress eat. I felt so much shame. I felt like I was a failure. And I would also use my fitness routine to compensate for the foods I would eat. So I would like binge one night and then be like, okay, tomorrow I have to hit the treadmill and I have to go really hard. And so I was using my fitness routine to try to also balance out the foods I was eating. And it was just a very punishing time in my life where I did feel like I was at war with my body. And I was also really seeking, I was constantly seeking external validation mm-hmm. from men, from girlfriends, from, I just needed that. I was just so desperate to feel accepted. I was so desperate to feel desirable mm-hmm. for sure by men at that time where I was just like, do they like me? Am I
set? How did this impact your capacity for intimate relationships, being so obsessed with your body image?
I mean, I felt like my body image was just hinging on all the external factors. It was hinging on the number on the scale. It was hinging on if that guy wanted to go out with me or not, right? Wow. So it felt like my sense of self-worth was just, and what was so crazy is I look back at my journal entries. I was a big time journaler and I knew it was ludicrous that I was like, putting all this weight on these external sources, but I didn't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. Well, because it's so hard. This is just really one of the most challenging issues that I see so many women struggle with. So how did you get out of that place?
So a lot of, I did end up going to an eating disorder therapist, which was really great. It was a long path. It was a long road. I had a couple turning points. One, my father passed away in college, very tragically. And it was a time in my life because it was so, earth shattering for my soul. And it was kind of a turning point where I was like, okay, Elizabeth, you have a choice right now. You can continue on this path. You can move back home, back to Denver from New York City, give up on your dreams of being a dancer. You know, this is all too hard, right? Like this is too much of a struggle. Or you could choose life. You could choose to heal yourself. You could choose to build your self-worth from the ground up. And I would say it was a long process of figuring out what worked. It was definitely a lot of therapy. It was a lot of doing the inner work that is required.
Yeah, that's what I want to know more about for your own journey, because, you know, in the work that I do with women and intimacy and sexuality, it's really all about the inner work. It's not just about learning how to give a great hand job or this latest, trendy technique or relationship advice. It's really about doing that deeper inner work. And I know that's a big part of your message as well. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, what is the inner work that you did on yourself and that I imagine is now part of this program when you help other women. And how does that differ from sort of this idea of like diet and the workout and the diet, whole diet culture? Like, I think that a lot of women that struggle with this challenge, they think I just need to, you know, eat less and work out more. But really, like, that's not the core of it. There's these deep core emotional patterns that really probably developed long ago in our childhood and our early upbringing that are influencing the reason why we're feeling the way we're feeling about our body, or even the reason why we're holding more weight on our body. It's usually emotional and not necessarily so much tied in. The diet and exercise are important, but it's not the core thing. So I really want to hear specifically, like, how do you help women in that way? And what is this inner work that we're talking about here?
Totally. So I love that you asked this question, because I had a woman that I was working with and she said, Elizabeth, I did it. I lost the 45 pounds that I wanted to lose and I still feel horrible in my body. I still feel, I look at my body and I hate it. And I think it's that's heartbreaking to hear, but it's also understandable. And it highlights this point that it's kind of an illusion that we all subscribe to, that if I just weighed X amount of pounds, then I would finally be happy. Then I would finally feel sexy and desirable. When in reality, that can only come from an inner knowing. And unfortunately, the way that dieting and the fitness industry is all set up is it's really set up for us to fail, right? Like it's set up for us to fail. That's why it's like a multi-billion dollar industry. They want you to keep failing and coming back. And they want you to think that, yeah, if you did fit into a size, you know, 2 jeans, you are going to be like, you're going to feel sexy and you're going to feel like everything's all together for you. And it's just this illusion that we're like sold, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think what's required is a deep sense of, when we say inner work, there's a couple different elements of it. One is a huge piece of the work I do with my clients is identifying their inner critic and their limiting beliefs. And yes, these are the beliefs, the values, the thoughts that they have inherited, they have subscribed to, they might believe that they are their truth. And so it's really important that we're able to identify, like, what are those limiting beliefs? Because if we can't heal some of those wounds, you know, then it's kind of like, you know, that's what the number one problem I see with women is that they're trying to put like band-aids on top of these like gushing wounds, which is kind of graphic, but it's like, it's like, okay, I'm going to go sign up for that gym, or I'm going to do that like 30-day diet, or I'm going to, and it's like these band-aids, but it's like, if you don't clear these limiting beliefs. So an example of a limiting belief is it really is that sense of, I am seeking acceptance. Usually it's, I'm seeking acceptance. I feel like I'm not worthy. So it's like a sense of self-worth. And
these are, this is really about like, people got to feel uncomfortable here, right? Like you've got to be willing to kind of go into those places of pain that have been just sort of covered up with the, you know, the weight or the dieting or the obsession with body image. It's really what you're saying is those things are really a symptom of the unhealed wounds.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Go into those places and confront the source of that, which I imagine is an uncomfortable process.
But yeah, I always say you have to be brave and courageous to do this work. And this is why so many people, frankly, are unhappy, is they're not willing to do this work. They're not willing to, it is uncomfortable. But that's where the growth is, right? Yeah. Like that's where your next level, higher level self is waiting, is for you to like get the courage. And that's, of course, as you know, why having a coach, a mentor is so key, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it can be so challenging to go to this. We're resistant to going there already. So to try to do it on our own is sometimes we need someone to kind of hold that container of love and acceptance and kind of, and show us the process too. That's what I find in my own work. You know, where women tend to be so, we're so lost. Everybody's kind of lost when it comes to sex and intimacy and doing that deeper work in a broader perspective, just how to even do the inner work. Like, knowing what the steps are, knowing how do I do this, how do I get there. And so one of the things you do is kind of help provide that process and those clear directives over how to actually confront those places, and then like what do you do with it once you're there, right? Because we don't want to take people into the pain and leave them there. We've got to help them move through it.
Totally. But once you can identify it, right, once you can see it, feel it, name it, know what it is, right? Then that's the opportunity to shift it and take inspired actions or make conscious decisions from a place of truth versus a place of fear or
Absolutely. Of
your not enoughness, right?
Yeah. So, why do you think that this issue is so huge? Like, why do so many women struggle with feeling confident in their body?
I think that it's a societal systemic issue. I think that we are conditioned as women to really be validated by our external appearance, like that what matters is how we look. And it, even though there's been a lot of growth, I would say, in the last few years, we still have a long way to go, because we're still getting that bill of goods sold to us of, even though the body type can kind of change, you know, in terms of like, this is a desirable body type, or now it's really cool to have a big butt, like show off your big butt, but now it's not cool anymore, right? Like, there's always these like changing trends around what is sexy.
Which is, you know, it's very much the patriarchal influences too, you know, because the masculine aspect is the external and it's focused on the external, and being an embodied feminine woman is really about the capacity to be connected internally, right? To the sensations and the feelings and the movements that happen within the body, not the obsession with the external appearance of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think that that is a huge piece of why we're, as women, it just makes sense. And a lot of us too, like, of course, our families, you know, our parents or our upbringing will affect how we look and feel in our body. You know, an example for me is I have a wonderful mom. I'm so close with her. She never critiqued my body ever. But you know what? She critiqued her body all the time in front of me. Yeah. I remember going to, you know, the dressing room with her, and I saw this beautiful mama. Like, I love my mom. I adored her. And she would just berate herself in the mirror of, oh, look at this, my cellulite and my spider veins and this and this, and this is so gross, and I need to cover this up. And so I think it's important as women too, like, we must heal our own wounds so we don't pass that down to our children.
Yeah, it's amazing how much we absorb just through transference. Like you said, like, your mom never said anything to you directly, but you watched her berate her own self, and then that gets transmitted. Yeah, it's so crazy. Tell me, you know, I see this issue obviously and how it affects women in terms of their capacity for sexual intimacy and pleasure and orgasm. But I also know that it affects every area of their life. And so I want to see, just in your work, like, talk a little bit about how this challenge, you know, if women don't resolve this, like, how does it end up affecting other areas of their life?
Right. So when a woman is not feeling comfortable or confident in her skin, it's absolutely going to affect every layer of her life, right? It's going to be hard for her to set boundaries. And it's interesting, in my work, a lot of what I do with women is help them learn how to set boundaries, because it's easy to get caught in the people-pleasing and perfectionism and making sure that everyone else is happy and taken care of, and we're responsible for everyone else's emotions in the room, and we're walking eggshells, right? And a lot of the women I work with have trouble speaking their truth. Like, they feel blocked in their throat chakra, right?
Yes.
And so, and it all comes from that sense of, like, I am worthy of time. I am worthy of care. I am worthy of, you know, what is going to nourish me? Like, what can I do in this day? Even though, like, for me, I have two kids, I have two businesses, right? How do I, you know, and that's part of what I love doing with my clients, is like helping them to figure out, like, what would that look like? And to give you an example, one of the women in my program right now, we've been working on, you know, healing her body image, healing her relationship with foods, you know, getting off the dieting roller coaster and learning how to set boundaries so she's not constantly self-sacrificing. And guess what was impacted?
What?
She got a promotion in her job, and instead of saying, yes, I will take it, because she's a yes woman. She's like a yes, I will do it. Yes, 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 yes. She said, I'm so excited. Thank you. I'd like to see exactly what the expectation is. So she set a boundary. She got that figured out. And then she was able to ask for a raise.
Wow.
And that is that's one example of when you have that, like, sense of confidence of I am worthy. I can take up space here. I can speak my truth.
Right.
I'm, you know,
it's really huge. And I think that as women, you know, part of our inherent nature is to be the nurturers, right? And we're the glue of the world. We're the ones that hold relationships together. And unfortunately, the weakness of that great gift is this habit of we do it at our own expense. We sacrifice our own selves. So in order to keep the relationship, in order to keep the family together, in order to keep our partners happy, we sort of self-negate. And, in a way, yes, that's sort of the mothering instinct, right? Sometimes we have to put ourselves last so that our children can flourish and grow. Like, truly, sometimes that is truly what's asked of us as mothers. But I think the challenge to that is it becomes this habit where we've totally lose touch with who we are. We lose ourselves completely. We forget. You know, boundaries are just like something that we've heard of, you know, in a book or something, or, you know, we know they exist, like a foreign country or something but we've never visited. We'd like to go there someday, but we've only ever heard about it, right? And so I think a lot of the work, what you're speaking to and a lot of what I do with women as well is really helping them understand what is even a boundary and how do we know how to set them and why it's so hard. And I love your example. It sounds like you really coached that woman to take time, like before just saying an immediate yes, it's like, okay, just pause. We have to slow things down to learn how to feel what's actually going on in our own bodies. And I think too, like the core of this is like you said, the word that we're worth it. Like I deserve, I'm worthy, I'm allowed to take up space. And at the core of that is also, and I wonder if you run into this in your work, I know that I do in mine, but there's this sense of guilt or the feeling I'm selfish, right? If I have needs, if I have desires and I speak up, then I'm being selfish or I'm going to hurt somebody else's feelings. So how do you address that in your work?
Oh my gosh, that absolutely comes up in my work as well. So what I help my clients to understand is that setting boundaries is a form of self-care, and it's actually a form of really caring for the relationship you're in. Because when you don't set a boundary, resentment will build, which will inevitably wedge you further from this person that you need to set a boundary with. So to me, setting a boundary is actually an act of love. It's like, I care about this relationship and this is mine. This is yours, you know, and really being, I think the other thing I work on with them is like, you first have to be really clear on what is your boundary. Mm-hmm. I think that's hard too, is like, it's unclear sometimes. So getting really clear on what is that boundary. And also, what I coach my clients through is like, it is uncomfortable to set boundaries.
Yeah.
It is scary. And that's okay. Like if you feel that, you're doing it right. You know, it's like building a muscle, right? The more you do it, the more confident you're going to feel, you know, but in the beginning, or even, I mean, it's not necessarily like it ever goes away. You know, if there's a big boundary that you need to set with someone, and it's going to feel scary, and that's okay. But remember, it's like, this is you taking a stand for yourself. And here's why it's not selfish. You absolutely must set boundaries to protect your time, your energy, your power, your life force, right? Mm-hmm. And when you don't, and you're seeping that out to everyone and everything, you are not able to show up at your highest level self. You're not able to serve at your highest level or be the best mama or be the best wife or be the best business owner, right?
Absolutely.
So it's not selfish. You're actually like, I'm going to show up at an even higher, better, more connected, happy, healthy, connected level.
Right. Yeah, and that's so much more of a gift to our relationships when we're honoring the relationship with ourselves first through the boundary setting, or I refer to it as self-honoring. It's really the same thing, but it's really when we honor our first relationship with ourselves first, we honor everybody else around us. And I think, you know, what you're saying is that's really the key to learning this process of loving the body that you're in. And that's the inner work that that we're speaking to here today is really learning about these things. So tell us about the Confident Feminine Body program real briefly, and then how anybody listening or watching, how they can get in touch with you if they want to keep in touch with you after today's broadcast.
Yeah. So the Confident Feminine Body program is a 12-week program where I help women really reclaim their body confidence and connection to themselves. And we do that through healing our relationship with food, discovering joy-filled movement practices that you can do every day that really nourish you, not just the physical body, but like mental, spiritual body. So your workout is really a way for you to reconnect and listen to your body and learning how to really set those boundaries. So that way we're in our 12 weeks together, we're really working on building your sense of self-worth from the ground up, or you could think of it from the inside out. So that way you're no longer constantly at the whim of needing that external validation.
Awesome. And how do people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about this and more about your work?
Yeah. So I do a complimentary one-on-one body confidence breakthrough session if someone is interested in working with me. And you can book that at theconfidentfemininebody.com. I also am really active on Instagram. You can follow me at Elizabeth Marbury. And then I also have a private Facebook community group. So it's called the Confident Feminine Body Community.
On Facebook. Okay, awesome. Well, we're so happy to have you here on Sex Talk Cafe. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. To keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.